So this evening, I want to share a little bit about everyday life in the deep. And it's kind of a follow-on from last week and also carrying on with the Holiday Club theme. And I looked at it and wondered what I was going to do. And then I decided to look at Luke chapter 5. So if you can turn with me to Luke chapter 5 in the meantime. Just looking at Simon and his calling, or Simon Peter, and it's a story that we're all very familiar with, where Jesus is preaching to the crowds, and we're going to have a look at that now, if you read with me. And so let's start at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats back to land, they forsook all and followed him. And let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just can thank you for this evening. And Lord, I pray that your word will speak to our hearts and that we will get an understanding of what your Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, and that we will be receptive to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to just start off with a couple of questions. So what does your Christian walk look like? Something that we've been tackling, we've been looking at Holiday Club. I've been challenging the teenagers quite a bit with it. What does your Christian walk look like? And do you have a life, or do you live a life of complete surrender to Jesus Christ? And the last one, or the third question, is, does he have complete authority over your life? And so that's kind of where we are at in terms of everyday life in the deep. We're going to look at those, not those specific three questions and to answer them, but that's kind of the thought process that I've been going through, is what does our life look like as a Christian? What would it look like as a believer? And so we've got this story of Simon, or Simon Peter, and it's actually quite interesting that there's this multitude. I mean, imagine, they talk about it, this being the first revival in the Bible. They joke about it. And imagine if there were multitudes of people trying to push in here to come and listen to the word, it would be awesome. You know, filling the church and the capacity out, going through the doors, and it would be really, really great. And so, yeah, this multitude of people that Jesus is talking to, and then we see the first pulpit in the Bible is a boat. Okay, and Jesus gets pushed out onto the water, and he preaches to this multitude. But what's interesting is that if you go back to the book of John chapter 1, you see that Simon knew Jesus, because he was introduced to Jesus by Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist. And already there, if you go look at it, if you can turn with me quickly to the book of John chapter 1, and you go look at verse 40, it says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And then it carries on. And then if you go to verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. you shall be called Cephas. And we know that that is the Aramaic word for Peter, which is the Greek word for Cephas is Peter, and that's how he got his name. And so there was already they had a knowledge of each other. And so I think with Jesus getting into Simon's boat wasn't something that really shocked him. I don't think he was taken back or offended. I think he was quite more than willing because he recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And he was, but he wasn't as committed. It was at that stage he was kind of on the sides, you know, just following with the crowd. He was more interested in his business. And so as we read through the account of Luke, he's giving us incredible detail of this particular event. And, then these guys are sitting and there's this crowd and they're just carrying on with their daily business. They're kind of listening with one ear. That's the kind of the picture you get. They're listening with one ear and at the same time they're carrying on with their business. And this was probably a family business that they had, and these guys were fishermen. This was their profession. And so we're going to start off, what I've done is I've broken it up into three sections, and we're going to look at three points that I'm going to bring up. And the first one is, the first part we're going to look at is Luke 5, 1 to 3. And this is now just the start of this event where Jesus is talking to this multitude. And then on that, he's talking to this multitude of people. Let me just find my space here. Okay. And then there's this whole, because of the crowd pushing up against him. You remember, Jesus has already at this point got such a following because of all the miracles he's just performed. If you go further back in Luke chapter 4, there's a couple of things that have happened, events. So there's this following that has already developed. This amazement of who's this man that is teaching and that is doing all these miracles, casting out a demon. And now suddenly he wants, when you get to a beach, you can only go so far with the land. After that, it's just water. So, you know, to accommodate these crowds. So, my first point is giving God every aspect of your normal day. Now, Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat. And if you think about it, in this case, Peter's boat was his everyday He used it every day. It was a part of his everyday life. It was a part of his business. And we are the same in that aspect. We all have things in our lives that we use every day. We do every day. Whether it's been going to work, and this is quite something I've been listening to quite a lot lately, even going to work. You know, often it's like it's a burden. But is that the right attitude to have? You know, and this is kind of the wrestle that I'm going with. And we complain about things and we have our homes and we have computers and we have all these things in our lives. And what does it form in our life? What's the importance of it? And so Jesus wants Peter's boat, and he's wanted to use it to teach the word, and that's his objective here. And Peter probably thought that he was just doing Jesus a favor, and you'd get out there on the water, preach, and then pack up and go. And so he could carry on with his business. But these guys are probably tired because we read later on that they've been fishing all night. So they probably just want to get on with their little business. And we don't really know, but you almost get the idea that Jesus had planned this. Being God, and probably had a bit of insight into some things that were going to happen. And Peter, the role Peter was going to play in the New Testament and the church, Jesus probably was setting this up. And, you know, fishermen are known to work together. They stand together. They're very dedicated in what they do. They don't give up easily. It's a physical job. You know, you have the bad times, you have the good times, and they have a lot of courage. If you think the Sea of Galilee was not a place of mediocre storms, there could be quite a few serious storms there. And so the Sea of Galilee, these guys had courage, and they were hard workers. And if you think about it, these are kind of the qualities that we should be having as Christians in our evangelism, in our discipleship: hardworking, courage, get the gospel out there. What we see here is that God uses everyday, seemingly small opportunities and decisions to move you even deeper with Him. So the things that we take for granted in our lives, God actually can use and will use. The thing, are we listening? Are we paying attention to that? And that's where you look at what Peter's doing now, and you know, Jesus says, can I use your boat? So Peter's got to make a decision, yes or no. Imagine if he had said no. How would that look? I think the book of Luke would have looked a bit different here. I don't know. But imagine if he said no. And you kind of, you know, what does that mean to us as Christians? You know, do we say no? How often do we say no, Lord? I mean, God is calling us to do something and we are not being obedient to him. And I think that's the decision here. Every aspect of your normal day involves obedience to him, whether it be the way we act in certain ways towards our people that we work with, or be it just in your own life, where God is trying to deal with something in your own life, the sin that you're dealing with. So, we get to is rather than giving God the things of our everyday lives, we typically try and hold on to them. You know, where we let God, you can do this in my life, but you can't have this. And we're pretty good at that. I know guys are, because we've got boxes. You know, the nothing box. That's a really special one. You know, the ladies, unfortunately, don't have that box. But they've got something we just don't understand. It's like this network. And so, you know, we hold on to things. We pack them away. And so, Lord, you can have this, but you can't touch this. And when things are going well in our lives, we kind of forget about our normal day, the aspects of our lives. We just relax and we just kind of, not withdraw, but we stagnate. And so we see this in Peter's life again when, if you go look at Mark chapter 10, and I'll have it up here, yes. Okay, Mark chapter 10, and it says, then Peter began to say to him, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or child or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. God will bless those who give every aspect of their lives to him. But remember one thing, it comes with a cost. It will always come with a cost. Jesus said there, I want to highlight that again, receive 100 times as much the blessing, and then adds in that one little bit there, along with persecution. And I think that's something we just got to remind ourselves of, the cost that we're going to pay in following Christ. The cost we're going to pay in giving him every aspect of our lives. So, the next part we're going to be looking at is Luke chapter 5, 4 and 5. We're going to look at that now. And just to recap, so when he stood speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So my second point is acknowledgement of Jesus' authority over every detail of your life. And it's interesting how Peter starts off with, Master, we have toiled all night. He uses the word master. Now, master is someone that is placed over, someone that has authority over. And we talk about throughout the scriptures, you see this whole thing about the master and the slave, or master and the servant. And so master has authority, has place over, or he's placed over. And Peter recognized this in Jesus. So again, you can kind of get the idea that he knew Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. He knew that through the teachings of John the Baptist and through Andrew and one of the disciples, already, John the Baptist's disciples, he was already following Jesus in that aspect, but there was no depth in his relationship with the Lord. It was just more of an acquaintance at this stage. And so he recognized this authority and he saw it and he gave Jesus the final say, even though he didn't understand or agree. Now you must think about this. It's like, I mean, Jesus being a carpenter, Simon, a fisherman. It's like telling a motor mechanic to do how to do open heart surgery. It's just not going to work. Okay. Now these guys were, I mean, Jesus being a carpenter, Peter, Simon Peter, a fisherman. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You know, these guys have been fishing all night. They've been out there. They've struggled. They, you know, I mean, now Jesus says, just, you know, take the boat out. And he agrees, and he just does it. He's obedient because he recognizes Jesus' authority. And even though he doesn't understand or necessarily agree. And so we have to have that right attitude toward Christ. Is Christ our final authority? You know, if he's our final authority, then we can live an everyday life in the deep. Because of our obedience and recognizing that authority that he has. And basically we have a choice of two things. One is to live a shallow life without or very little eternal impact. Or the other option is living a deep life, a meaningful life that has a huge eternal impact to the glory of God. And Jesus describes both. And if you go look further, go with me to Luke chapter 6. And just read with me. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And so the question here is, what do we learn from this? And I just want to share a couple of thoughts here. The first one being is, we can say we submit to Christ's authority, but our actions will reveal the truth. Lip service is one thing. And remember, I mean, guys, you know, the teenagers will know this, that it's something that I bring up quite a lot, is our testimony is more important than what we say. Because people can watch what we do. But people can always deliver a message. And they can say all the nice things. Politicians do that all the time. Your testimony, your actions, the way you live out your life, that's what's important. And so that shows if we do or don't submit to the everyday authority of Christ. The second thing is, God uses the storms of life to reveal our true heart. And sometimes people pick that up, but often it's something that we need to pick up. Sometimes we have to stand back and say, hey Lord, where am I? Why is this happening to me? What's going on? And sometimes somebody will come to you and say, you know what, I'm seeing this in your life, or I feel that I need to share something with you, whatever it might be. But sometimes we've got to stop and just look at our own lives. Sometimes we have to stand back and just reflect on where we're going. But God can use the storms in our lives. Another thing is that if we want to live in the deep, you have to go beyond the shifting sand and get the rock solid foundation that doesn't move. We see that in verse 48. We need that foundation. How do we get that foundation that doesn't move? Spending time in His Word. Spending time here. Spending time in prayer. Building a relationship with Him. And the last thing, excuse me, is a shallow response to the words of Christ will result in an unstable life that is one storm away from complete ruin. And that's something that you often see, is that, and you look at your own life and ask yourself the question, is my life as a believer stable? Am I solid enough? Am I consistent? Or am I going up and down, you know, hitting the spikes and then suddenly lows? Not having the normal ups and downs, but these extreme drops. Is that what we're experiencing sometimes? Is our life that unstable? Something that you've got to examine in your own life. So, your depth is measured by your actions. Your depth is measured by your actions. And this stems from your attitude towards the authority of Christ and His Word. Your choice is only a storm away from being made known to everyone. Your actions are what people see. Then moving on to Luke chapter 5, the last part, verses 6 to 11. So what happens here is we know the story. They go out and they drop their nets and they pull in this huge amount of fish. Eventually they call their buddies and both boats are loaded and the boats are almost sinking. And remember, they're still out on the water when this conversation starts. And then Simon Peter saw it and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now imagine that. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so they're out on the water. We know that Jesus, who he is and what he's capable of doing. Was he just going to walk on the water back to the beach? Because only later did they put the boats back. So how was he going to depart? He wasn't going to leave. He wasn't finished with Simon. He wasn't finished with him. And that's so much in our lives. Jesus, once he starts to work in us, he's not finished. He stays there. And anyway, so there's this whole back and forth, and then Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid." And so Jesus not only spoke with this authority, but he acted with authority. Why? Because he says, "Don't be afraid." He stays there. And the miracle, this whole fishing miracle, is actually a slap in the face to human effort and knowledge. And it actually, you realize that what we do, our efforts, mean absolutely nothing, are meaningless because of who he is. We can achieve very little. We can do a lot on our own, but the value, the meaning, the meaningfulness of it is so shallow. And so we realize that, I mean, they'd been fishing, they'd been out there, and we see that they fished all night, and if you understand how that works, they go out, they actually use these little lights, and the fish come into slightly shallower water at night, and so their fishing success is better at night, but it's a long night for them, and they've got to be patient. Now it's daytime. The fish have moved back into deep water. Everything that these guys know about fishing and what Jesus is telling them to do is so against the grain. It's against the normal run of their job. Okay? And so, there's a bit of feedback here, Dylan. So these fish go out into deeper water, and so they go back out into deeper water, and Simon obeys Jesus and says, "Okay, fine, I'll go." He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't get into a debate with him. He, in his mind, is saying, "No, this is not right. It doesn't make sense," but he's being obedient. Okay, he. You know what? I've left the last point. Sorry. It ruins your ability to settle for average. That's the last point. I got carried away with the fishing story. Okay. But he obeyed anyway, and he was rewarded with that obedience. And we read the story of the fish and the sinking of the boats almost sinking. And Peter was learning that Jesus is Lord of all creation. He's learning something in this process. And that He could control this. He could control the fish. Why is he doing this? Why fish? You start asking that question. Why? What's Jesus trying to show Simon in the process here? And you start looking and wondering what's going on. And we see that Jesus again proved to Peter that proved this again, that he had control over nature or control over creation. Why? When he, in Matthew 17, he tells, verse 27, he tells Peter, "Go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take this, that and give it to them for you and me to pay their taxes." Jesus had control over creation. And he's busy building up to something here. And then you see that it carries on with the sinking of the boats. And they're overly filled. And I can imagine what that is like when you've got this amount of, you know, sometimes greed is something that grabs us when we, you know, I don't know who it was. I think it was not Warren Buffett or one of these super rich guys. You know, when he was asked the question, when is enough enough? And he said, if I can just make one more dollar. And you kind of wonder if Simon's wrestling with that exact thing is, can I just try one more time? You know, because this is their livelihood. And you can imagine what, you know, shall I drop the nets once more, but the boats are sinking and you kind of don't know whether you should carry on or not. And anyway, so the nets are full, the boats are sinking, and sorry, I'm just trying to find my place here. I've just lost my thoughts here. Okay. So what do we look at this? What do we learn out of this? Or what can we learn? The first one is the level of productiveness in our Christian walk is only limited to our willingness to obey God. Okay, and I would like to repeat that. The level of our productiveness in our Christian life or our Christian walk is only limited by our willingness to obey God. Luke tells us they caught enough fish to fill both boats. And Jesus had enough fish to fill more than that. If there were more boats, he probably would have filled more boats. What we're seeing there is that there is no limit to what we can do through him. There is no limit to what he can do through you and me and for you and me. The limit that we have, or we experience, is the limit we place on ourselves. And we see that. The next thing we see that we learn here is people who see Jesus for who he really, and this is important, people who see Jesus for who he really is will always see themselves for who they really are. And this is something that struck me. You know, when you read it in verse 8, it says, but when Simon Peter saw what Jesus did, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When we come to that point in our lives, when we meet Jesus face to face, and we have that, and we realize that we are sinners, that's life-changing. It's at that point we realize the need for Christ. And then we realize that Jesus forgives and uses everyday sinners like you and me. That's all we are. We're just sinners. And he uses each one of us. Each one of us have a story. Each one of us have our own fishing boats and our own nets. And we're out there doing our thing. Jesus uses each one of us. But Jesus does not drive away the sinner who recognizes his or her sinful condition. And that's what Simon recognized. He suddenly at that point had a revelation of who Jesus really, really is. Because up to that point, it was more an acquaintance, somebody he knew of. It's like, you know somebody out there, somebody that's famous, that's drawing a big crowd. But until you really meet them, they don't have that much impact on your life. And suddenly, yeah, he's in the boat with Jesus the Messiah. And at that moment, he realizes what a sinful man he is with that encounter. But Jesus doesn't leave him at that point. He doesn't drive him away either. He accepts the sinner and admits their sin. And he offers that person the opportunity to be forgiven. But that's not where it ends. Because then he sends that forgiven person out to do the work of God. And so often in our lives, we stop before we get to the ability to settle for average. That didn't make sense, did it? But we stop. We put the brakes on. We don't allow our lives to change. We don't allow Jesus to change us. To work in our lives. We start holding, like we said, we hold on to things. It's at that point when we come to know him, when we come to salvation, that the work in us begins. The transformation in our lives must begin. That transformation comes about by allowing him to work in us. We have to make ourselves available to him. And God wants to take your everyday life and give it eternal significance. If you ever want to know what your role in life is, spend time with Him. Because He has a job for each one of us. We all have a purpose. We are all called by Him. And we see that the word catching, it's actually quite an interesting word that I didn't realize this. The word catching translates to take alive. And it's only used twice in the New Testament. And it's the second that it's used here, and the other place is in 2 Timothy 2:26. But in that case, it's used of Satan. And when you read the two verses, you realize that we're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And it's about souls. It's about living souls. It's about each one of us. There's this battle going on. And these fishermen had been catching live fish, which die. These fishermen had been catching live fish that die and then are sold and eaten. But now they would catch because they are caught. It says, you know, Jesus says, do not be afraid, for now you will catch men. Now they will catch spiritually dead sinners that would become alive in Christ. And we see that in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Once you experience the forgiveness and power of Christ, your everyday life is never the same. Once you experience the forgiveness and power of Christ, your everyday life is never the same. And I want to challenge you. I want to just challenge you at this point. If you look back over your life from the time that you committed your life to Christ, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see growth? Do you see these vicious dips, up and downs? What are you looking at? Are you struggling? Are you still battling with the same things you were battling with then? Sometimes we've got to sit back and examine. We've got to examine our lives. Peter and his friends were no longer satisfied with the status quo. They walked away from everything that was familiar, comfortable, and safe. Are you satisfied where you are in your walk with God? God warned His people about being satisfied with the mediocre relationship with Him. And we read about that in Isaiah 13, where it says, When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled to their own heart, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. And that's what I was saying just now. Sometimes we get to a point in our lives where we become satisfied, where everything's looking good, and we forget God. We forget what He's done for us. We forget where we've come from. Look back over your life. Are we settling for, as He says here, as I've written here, the status quo? Are we settling for the mediocre? Mediocre. And so my challenge to you is this. Step into the deep and give God your whole life, your everyday life. Look what that looks like in your life. And I want to just finish off with this one line. Well, this little bit, yeah. Your depth will be proven by what you do, not by what you know or what you say. And what you do will be directly related to your obedience to Christ's authority. And I just want to repeat that. Your depth will be proven by what you do, not by what you know or what you say. And what you do will be directly related to your obedience to Christ's authority. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just want to again thank you for this wonderful opportunity of being able to share the word. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will take this time and examine our lives, that we be reminded where we come from, Father, and look at what you've done in our lives, how you've transformed us. But Father, let us not settle for the mediocre, but let's go deeper with you. deeper in our relationship with you, Father, that it becomes so amazing that there's just no turning back. So, Father God, I pray that as each one of us go into this week, that you will really work in our lives and that we will hear your voice, that we will spend time searching the scriptures and spend time in prayer, focusing on what you have called us to do. And as Simon forgets everything and moves to follow Jesus, that we will also let go of the things that we're holding on to, the sin, the materialism, whatever it is that's holding us back in our relationship with you, Father. We will let go of those things and follow you wholeheartedly. And I just pray this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.